All right, returning to open session then. Item 7. Henry, good morning. Presentation of the 2023 CICERA budget versus actual expenses report. The floor is yours.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Another exciting update on the budget versus actual update. I'm glad you're all ready for it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the board. This is a very brief routine presentation of the budget versus actual cost for the last fiscal year, January, December of 2023. The format you've seen before on a semi-annual basis when we do the annual update, semi-annual update. Coming up in the next couple of months, we're going to do the budget for next year, and we'll bear down more deeper in the line items. But the way the budget is constructed is we take a look at all the core cost center departments, exec, compliance, retirement services, member services, accounting, IT. We gather those costs, and that's what's considered the admin cost per the SURL rules. We're allowed to measure up a limit against those particular costs. We go through line items, salaries, benefits, professional services, and then office type cost, office overhead. And then we do depreciation too, because that's considered part of cost, being able to amortize certain assets. Those are the admin cost, but for the budget, we also combine the non-admin cost, which are considered the costs we spend for our investment team, our staff, professional services, and also our legal, outside legal, in-house legal staff costs, and some of IT disaster recovery. Those are considered non-administrative, but we include them in our budget and in our presentation because we like to say this is what it takes to run the place. You know, these are the costs besides investment manager fees, things of that nature. So we like to do an update. So very quickly here, the way the presentation here, let's go to page 1. Let me see, get our clicker. Go back a little bit. Non-admin. Let me go, here we go. Can we go up on that document to the top a little bit? If not, we can just kind of continue. It's in your packet agenda. So this is page 1. This is the page where it summarizes all the administrative and non-administrative costs. The important highlight here is down at the bottom, the little green bubble, is basically from the budget. About 3/4 of the entire cost is the administrative cost. And the remaining 28%, a little over 1/4, is non-administrative costs. That gives you an idea of the entire budget, how we're placing these two. The administrative cost is the one that shows up in the actuary report as a component of contribution rates, as spoken about as an admin rate. The non-admin is buried in the act for cost as part of cost of investments or part of cost of running the organization. But when we place it together here in our discussion, we talk about these are the budget cost and these are the actual against it. So very quickly here, I'll guide you down to right above the bubble. We have total CICERA expenses. The highlight item here is that our entire budget was 19.7. Against that, we have 17.9 in cost, in actual cost. And it left a difference, what I call a favorable difference, of about 1.7 under budget, about 9%. We could say, wow, look how well we're doing against the budget. But really, when we construct the budget, it's a plan of action of how we're going to spend our money, what are we going to devote it to, what kind of activities. And some might be foreseen and some of it might be unforeseen. The biggest reason why we have the savings is if you look up at the top over in personnel services, the majority of that was from lack of spending on personnel services. And that had to do with a combination of reasons. We're trying to fill some vacancies during that year. We estimate when we expect to fill certain position, and there were some retirement counselor positions that we were looking to fill during that period. We were looking to fill some investment positions, and we have an estimate of when we're going to hire, and then they end up recruiting and starting a few months later after that, and so that causes some kind of savings. Then we have some unforeseens. For the majority of the year, we had a retirement services manager who decided to depart, and so we had a vacancy because we wanted to fill that spot. And we did so this towards later in the year, but it left a gap of about 10 to 11 months during the year, and it caused some of that savings right there. Christina, during her time as deputy, she was wearing multiple hats. Amongst one of them was covering that spot there until we find it the right candidate. So there were some other positions that we were deciding about filling as CORS and the new pension system comes closer. We're going to see how some of these functions land, where our need's going to be, and so we might be holding off on filling those positions, and that's what some of that savings is. The rest of it, there's some pluses and minuses, routine ups and downs. I'd be gladly go through any of the items, but I promised that this was going to be a brief update. And so, the headline is that our budget is trending about 9% under. That's been a figure that we've managed to keep for a number of years since I've been here. The diagram tells us roughly what our admin and our non-admin makeup is. The CERL limit is 21 basis points of the actuarial accrued liability, and the last one published was our December 2022 actuarial report, and that number tells us that the actuarial liability is about 20, our liability was, quickly, 11.9 billion of liability, which results in a statutory limit of about 25 million. That's the limit. And our admin expenses came in at 12.8, so that's about half. So that's a well-respected, well-trended position. It means that we're running at a very lean budget and we're matching up to our expected plan. So along that note, the rest of the information, there's another item here at the very tail end, page 4, that I want to draw your attention. This is what's called our capital budget update. There's two things on here, basically where we sit from a financial basis. Oh, okay. Absolutely, yeah. Let me move that. Thank you. That's this page, page 4. Two items on here, the top one being where we stand from a financial basis on the pension system as of December 31st, 2023. We're committed to the project emotionally, physically, you know, we're there, but from a financial basis, this is where we're at. And it tells us, the first column tells us where our contract values are, what we spent against it, what the remaining contract is, and then the percentage. So about two-thirds of the contract has been spent so far as of December. That number is probably notched up a bit from where we're at. Next board meeting, we're going to get another pension update, more nuts and bolts about how the system is coming along. But that's what's considered an asset in progress. As soon as we go live, as soon as this starts running, depreciation is going to amortize on it. And we're entitled to amortize it over 10 years. So that $15 million or so will be divided up over 10 years, and it'll be part of the budget going forward. So right now it's just sitting in place until it launches. So that depreciation cost is going to move down to the bottom part of the schedule there, where you have assets. And these are what's left of all the assets that it took to move up here, which was 5 years ago. Scott was alluding to that. 5 years ago, September 2019, is when we incurred the majority of these. And so some of them are being written down through depreciation. And some of them were entitled to last 10 years. The leasehold improvements, those go 10 years. So along those lines, that's where we sit. Any exciting questions on any of the data?
One question I have is not, it's not on the data, it's just in general, beyond the tracking of the expenditures, which are depicted on the capital budget update. How often do you forecast? Do you do that like monthly or quarterly? Do you look out at any point and try to forecast?
The cost for the pension system?
Overall, right?
Overall?
Yes.
We look at it on a quarterly basis and we bear down semi-annually. This was as of 6 months ago. We're going to look at 6 months into this year, coming up on the budget, when we start preparing that in October, November. But on a quarter basis, we take a look and we do what's called a soft close. We analyze. During the year, we might have some budget adjustments where we decide, oh, we need to bump up one of the line items. I think we did that a month ago, a couple months ago. We needed more money for our Siegel project consultant.
Right.
So that's called a budget amendment. So that changes our little forecast in the middle of the year. And so on a quarterly basis, we take a look at actual expenses to see how they're running.
Yeah, so you forecasted probably end of March, and then this is a mid-year true-up, and then you'll do it again.
Correct.
September
Correct.
30, and then you'll true-up at the end.
Correct. Okay. And it's an interactive process. I sit down with our team, all our budget department managers, and we take a look at needs, who's coming on board. You know, of course, a big chunk of it has to do with staff and benefit costs. But we try and estimate when are they coming, who our needs are going to be. Are we going to have any needs in IT? IT, you know, can come and go. We try and forecast as best we can. But Microsoft might have a reason to bump up a price or, oh, you need a new update, and we need to worry about that. And I work very closely with Son and his team to figure out all our needs across the board. And also during the year, some things might change where we might have needs. And so we, you know, try and update as best we can. But we also take a look at other areas where if we don't need something, then we don't spend it. At least we try and forecast it. The idea being is that we want to place a budget in front of you that you're comfortable with, that's reasonable. And if we get under that, that's great. You know, we just want to prevent any unforeseens.
Right. That was why I asked about the forecasting.
Absolutely.
All right. Any other questions? Jerry had a question.
Jerry. On page 4, just so I kind of get my arms around this, if you use round numbers, say $15 million for the project cost, and assuming, I guess, that we're probably going to start using that system late this calendar year or early next calendar year, then the depreciation starts at that time.
Correct.
Over 10 years. Is that an incremental, or is it $1.5 million a year?
Straight line.
Yes.
Straight line?
Yes, straight
roughly.
Line.
So we can look forward to about a $1.5 million increase in the depreciation over 10 years?
Yearly.
Okay.
Yearly. And we'll prorate this year if we launch. Say, for example, if you launch, you know, in the fourth quarter, so a quarter of it will land this year. The timing of it will be very interesting because right about the same time when we expect is when we're going to be preparing the budget for next year.
Right.
So that's another thing, too, is trying to anticipate. You prepare the budget in advance of how it's going to be next year, and so we, you know, drop numbers in.
Okay. I just couldn't recall whether or not it was straight line and just.
Yeah, if we had to worry about income taxes, which we don't, we could do accelerated depreciation and things of that nature, but we're not that fancy. You know, we're just straight line.
Thank you.
You bet.
Any other questions of Henry? Samson.
Just looking at the office lease line item for both administrative and non-administrative, with the overage, what was the reasoning for that? Seems like leases are kind of the more predictable ones, unless your lease comes up for renegotiation.
It's a 10-year lease,
okay.
So from September 2019. But there is a line item where the leasehold company estimates for CAM charges, common area maintenance. As we look around, they do a good job of taking care of the place.
All right. You know,
parking, security, common areas, and there's also taxes and insurance. And so there's an allocation they do amongst the tenants and whoever's got leased up, and they do divvy it up. And so some of the costs were deferred. We didn't see them at the beginning, and about halfway through, we're starting to see them. And so we try and estimate and work with that office as best we can.
Okay.
But there were some little bit of ups there.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I've experienced the CAM charge surprise from commercial office leasing. It's you can't always predict it. Actually, you can't predict it. Yeah, it's not always. You just can't. So it's a bit of an unknown, right? I mean, that's something you can try to, you know, estimate, get, you know, guesstimate, stay close to the building folks to try to figure it out. But until it's done, it's not done. So,
and I'm certainly not complaining. It's great landscaping.
Yeah, no. What happens is, though, like if a building like this sold. Mm-hmm. Midterm in the lease, because this happened to me twice, the property tax juggernaut in the CAM charge is what you see in the next statement.
Gotcha.
So your taxes could literally double or certainly go up by 20 or 30%, and that'll be reflected, and you can't predict that because you're not connected to that sale at all, right? So it's challenging.
At a very good time. Have we done any analysis, just more out of curiosity of, you know, I'm curious how, what their occupancy rate is, you know, what the value of the building is now compared to what it was when we sold it, and how we're doing,
former building?
Yeah,
yes.
Our old offices, where again, we had a lower lease rate, of course, because we were the landlords, but we sold it at a very opportune time.
Well, that's a fascinating observation, because, you know, when you drive by, it's gone through remodel like
right.
crazy, and it's, you know, very attractive. And we wonder, it's like, why didn't you do that when we were there, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, but and so the mix of tenants there has also changed.
Yeah.
So it's almost like an apples and oranges,
okay.
comparison. I think they're full, but I even stepped into the lobby, and I remember where our boardroom used to be, and, you know, they kind of divvied up the boardroom, if some of the trustee remembers. Now that's very beautiful lights and everything like that, and so it's all carved out. I do know that they kind of parceled out into smaller chunks because they attract more revenue because it's
course.
In smaller pieces. So I'd like to say they're doing better, but they needed to invest in that building in order to get those revenues. And so it was just, you know, unfortunate. But I don't know. I like where we're at.
No, it's a great spot.
Absolutely.
Right?
I just think about, it's a good thing we didn't hold that asset past March of 2020.
Yeah.
So it was really good timing, fortuitous timing, but good timing.
And I work closely, Sierra Pacific. You know, they're downstairs on the second floor, and I know their finance guy, and, you know, we sit down, show me those sheets. I need to, you know, estimate this a little better. And so they are as interested in not surprising us as well and try and give us numbers as best we can. But it's a 10-year lease. We're halfway through. And so soon enough, we'll take a look. And
it's hard to believe we're halfway through.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the first 5 years, we're getting a two-month break. So we only pay for 10 months. We'll land it then. Yeah. So the timing was good, exiting the former and taking advantage at a good rate on this one.
There's some attractive rates in San Francisco right now. Just want to give you a little heads up on that.
We're not going to move.
Yeah, that's right. I better get my BART pass ready.
All right.
Any other questions?
Any other questions?
I have a couple.
Dennis.
Yeah, on the page 4 on the assets. This the first column, original asset cost. That's the original, right? Do you have the remaining cost, or is it the remaining cost of the asset?
That's a good call. We'll put the remaining price. Some of these are going to go away because they're 5 years, and so they'll drop off. But that That's a good call. That's not the remaining. That was the original price, and so okay. I guess
we yeah, that's what I thought, but yeah, yeah. It's interesting. It would be interesting to see how much assets actually remains. So,
correct.
Yeah. And also on the same page four, but the top portion, for the pension system, does this include only Sagitech? Because I remember also have Seagull, right? And I think it's also capital spending.
Correct.
And internal labor that could be also capitalized or not. Usually, if it's in relation to the capital project, and even internal labor could be capitalized. At least that's how we
did. You know, you could. You mm-hmm. could, Dennis, you know, but in consultations with Braun Armstrong, our auditors, you know, that would border a little bit on being a little more aggressive, you know, on you know, picking up internal labor. We'd have to measure and say, okay, how much of my time mm-hmm. was devoted to this, how much time of, you know, the retirement office. And that gets into some pesky calculations and timing and things like that. We could, but they're all cost. And then also you have to measure if you're testing, for example, the Siegel cost that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
That's program management. Under the accounting rules, that's not part of the asset cost. It's just an expense. That's part of your internal administrative cost. And in fact, that's why we had to get more of Siegel on their contract, because we were using Jesse and, you know, their team more. And that's one of the line items. Nobody brought it up, but over on page one, our program, project consulting down at the bottom is shown an overage. In case if someone was curious, it's like, why is our project consulting up? Has to do with Siegel mm-hmm. spending time on this budget.
Yeah. Okay. So this 12.6, it's just straight Sagitech, right?
Just Sagitech and some other programming supporting that. ICON.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is part of that.
So yeah, ICON is a separate line item. So okay.
Correct. That's, correct. Then yeah. We call that all pension administrative costs. So anything in the design and the construction of it, the testing, the double checking, the troubleshooting, all of that's separate. That's just expense.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. Any other questions for Henry?
Just,
John.
Henry, on the percent remaining, I assume that's just a direct remaining the contract piece that hasn't yet been paid over the original contract.
Correct.
Do we have any measurement as to where we are as far as the actual work? One of the real issues on construction accounting is that you've got 5% of the contract left and 50% of the work.
Well, we do have a retention account installed on these. So we hold back approximately 12-13% of every payment, put it aside, call it for warranty. But it's not representative that this percent means that 66% of the work has been done. I'll leave that up for our next pension update where people are closer to that. Jesse, some of the Sagitech personnel will be here, and they can reference. I would like to say that their work better be done more than what the money is. I, you know, if they were here, I'd like to say they're 80% or 90% done.
Exactly.
Right? Or even better. You know, if they came in here, well, we're done. Great. I want to be on that side of the fence.
Me too.
That's right. You know, we can always cut you a check instantly, but getting the work done is really the story. So, no, it's not percent complete. It's just percent of the contract.
And at this point, you don't have any overt concern that somehow we might not, there might be a big disparity between the percent left to pay and the percent of the work left to be done.
No, not at this point, because we have our retention account, so we're sitting in the warranty side now.
Good.
They're as interested to get the work done so they can get paid. So that's and we're as interested in watching them do the work and signing off on the work so we could gladly pay them, but that's another piece. But from an accounting point of view, that's how I wanted to say. We're all committed to this project, but for financial statement reporting, this is where the asset resides right now. And you know, want to strike up the conversation that Jerry raised about the depreciation when it starts hitting.
All right.
Thanks. Any other questions? Yes, for Linda.
The budget, and you mentioned it's due to some of the positions has not filled later than expected. So what's the actual FTE and what's budgeted FTE? Do you know?
It's about 70 people is the budgeted, and right now we're trending maybe in 67, 60. Somewhere in that vicinity. There are some positions that we're closely looking to see. For example, I have an accounting position that I'm debating about when the timing is on that, because they're going to be supporting a lot of the effort of this new pension system. So as soon as we have a clear understanding where that is. But we place in the budget because it could be next week. Well, we have needs now. Or someone might depart, just like we had a retirement services manager that left unforeseen. You know, we want to make sure. So it's always, you know, percentages coming and going. But the plan is every time we prepare a budget, this is our ideal plan of the number of people, what it takes to run the organization.
So they're very close currently. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We are? Sure. Thank you, Glenda.
And you'll have a new deputy CEO in the quarter three, am I right on that? Q3?
August 20th.
Yeah, August 20th. Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Yeah. Very good.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you, Henry, as always.
Absolutely.
Very informative.
You bet. Mm-hmm.